Hello and welcome to Holden Village. Today's date is September 26th, 2006. Today's session is entitled Meditation for Wilderness Sojourners, the second of five, presented by Pam Santerre, code SAPA2006-02. Let's listen in.
What was that passage? This passage was 2 Corinthians, chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Mm-hmm. So, I guess that is the word that I want to reflect, or the notion that I want to reflect on today, and I'm still reflecting on it. I have no answers whatsoever, but I think it is an intriguing thing to for us to consider that while we're here at Holden. How is God sustaining us here? How is God making himself known in new ways? Are we in any way humbled or cognizant and aware of our, of our condition, and what is God teaching us about that? So we're going to spend, as we did yesterday, 5 minutes of silence and just letting the Spirit and our soul just feed whatever thoughts come into our minds. I will, at the end of 5 minutes, I forgot my bell, but I will bring you all back. It's not way, shape, or form. I know. I have it. And then we will just start in conversation again over where we're at today and what we have discovered in these last 24 hours and these last 48 hours in this time that we've been here. So, just get comfortable, and we'll spend some time with you. Lord God, we remember your promise that where two or three are gathered, there you are in the midst. We ask your presence here today, and that our conversation and our sharing will be pleasing to you. Amen. Where I invite you to share anything that's on your mind.
I think that I thought that word was very meaningful to me, and the phrase that came to my mind was style of life, because we are so much in community here, in a space surrounded by wilderness, so the community becomes terrifically important. And then in part of that is what we do in this community that's different from when we are in community and living where we normally do. We are so dependent on each other I just think of all the things we are concerned about, the water, how we treat resources, and it makes you very much more aware of the style of life and how we should perhaps be thinking of more earth-friendly foods when we get back home. And talking about the manna, probably eating maybe some foods here that we have not eaten before and finding out that they're wonderful and nourishing. And I think it's a wonderful word that brings us to that.
Mm-hmm. Pam, can you give me the reading that you just read? It was from Matthew, you said? The one you just read?
From Matthew?
I didn't get it.
Second Corinthians.
Second Corinthians.
Four, six and seven.
Oh, but you had a reading just before you started this speaking, interacting part. And I walked and closed your prayer.
Oh, like two or three.
Oh, that was just a prayer.
Yeah, that was a prayer, yeah.
A song has been running through my mind all day today. I'm not exactly sure what the first word is, but I like the word fix, so I'm going to use it. And maybe all of you know it, but fix your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace.
It's kind of interesting.
Turn your eyes. You should sing that.
Turn your eyes.
Is it true? I thought, you know, but fix is a good word.
Can't we sing that first?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look for his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory.
I was thinking of a song too, but I was hoping it wasn't the same. The song that has been running through my mind was, let's see if I can remember now, Surely the Presence of the Lord is in this place.
Yes.
You know that one at all?
Yes.
And I couldn't think of the words exactly, so I kind of made up my own. And I'll get to the words. I'm kind of like you, but mine is not the words at all. I thought, surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. We hear it in his word. We see it on a face. We hear it in the roaring waters. We see it on the mountaintops. As we gather around the table or gather around this room, surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. And you could go on and on and on. The beauty of the surroundings. Now, if you know the words, we could sing them.
That's wonderful.
We talked about humility. And we went up to Heart Lake. We left at 9 o'clock this morning. And there was 8 of us. And maybe 3 of us were in shape, and 5 of us were not. Maybe one of the not. But, I recently had back surgery 8 weeks ago, so to walk that was a struggle at times. And my sister, yesterday my father, when we went on a walk, he said, just take your time, we're in no hurry. And my sister did that again. If you need to stop, stop, and just either enjoy the setting or just take a breath. It doesn't matter. We'll get there when we get there, and we'll get home when we get home. And on the way back, I took the lead for some reason, and all of a sudden, I needed to stop. So I pulled over and people kept walking by and I'm counting and making sure, and there was one missing. And it was my mother, stepmother. And so I thought, okay, I'll watch. And 3 minutes went by and I thought, that's too long. So I turned around and I started walking back. 5 minutes passed and all of a sudden there she was, coming around the corner crying. And she had lost, because it was so warm up in that altitude, she had lost kind of almost to the point of passing out. Mm-hmm. And she just kept saying, okay, put one step in front of the other. But it worked for her, and she said, and all of a sudden, there you were. And I took her to shade, and we drank water. But it's amazing how God's grace just comes upon you, and you know that you need to be someplace else. Mm-hmm. But humility was what I was really leading towards, was because she had a whistle in her backpack, didn't use it. She saw us walking away and her body was slowing down. And she said at one point, she almost just said, I could just stop, lay down and rest. And she said, I probably would have just fallen asleep and you would have found me, but I just thought, that's it, I'm just going to lay down and rest. But we don't ask for help in the scariest situations or the easiest situations. And out here, you really need to be able to accept humility and ask for help from others, no matter if you know them or not.
Your opening passage from Deuteronomy 8 just spoke to me in a powerful way that I never really quite experienced before. It was a whole idea of God humbling us to test us to know what is in our hearts,
yeah.
Leading us to this wilderness. And you know, sometimes we wonder why we go through what we go through, hardships of life. But He's causing you to hunger and then feeding you with manna. You know, He causes us to go through pain, sometimes back pain, sometimes other kinds of pain, and then He brings healing. And He brings all that we need to face any situation that we might need, but to humble us. That's I really appreciate that emphasis today. Thank you.
I think it's very humbling for me to be here too, and I'm very grateful for the people in the past and the present that had the foresight to set this place up. So we could come and be in a retreat, and that God had led them to do that, put that in their hearts, that this is what they need to do. People in the past and in the present, like you are doing for us now. That we could be here and treasure these moments.
There's another hymn for the beauty of the earth that really fits about what we're talking about right now.
Yeah.
This is a little off the subject, but does anybody see birds? I haven't seen
so
birds.
One.
Very few.
One.
Yeah.
Oh, I saw a lot of them.
Did you?
We saw not only the snake today, but
we did.
Caterpillars.
Oh, yeah.
And I saw birds. And I think and lots of bugs around those flowers on the labyrinth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And we haven't bothered with flies lately, so
they're here.
Yeah. But you don't hear the birds chirping.
No, we don't say that.
Not like at home.
Well, I guess it's acceptable in this group to talk about verses that you can't remember all the words to, but
yeah.
When I was thinking about Holden Village, I don't know why this image popped into my head, but I thought of the Statue of Liberty. And Holden Village being here, and if you, most of the verse that I know that's on the Statue of Liberty is, give me your tired, your poor, your wretched masses yearning to be free. And I think, you know, I mean, for all of us, I think at least there's something of that needing to breathe free. Mm-hmm. And for me, I'm just tired, so.
but it's a good kind of tired.
Yeah.
It's a, you know, that there's that other kind of tired that you get from just getting on that treadmill of life. And,
mm-hmm.
and you know, I was thinking about what was said this morning. And but then at the same time, you come here and you know, just really, almost literally brought to your knees by just the majesty of God's creation. Not only the mountains, but for some reason, I'm thinking back to the prairie. And I think I'm starting to get what attracts people to the prairie. Just this expanse of just an incredible creation. And you feel so insignificant, like you're just a speck. You're just a speck on the horizon, but at the same time, promise is there. You know that God knows us and has created us, and I was going to say knows each hair on my head, and I'm making God's job easier. Quite a bit of when I look in the shower each morning. But you know, having said that, those are some of the images, and then the other thing. As some of you know, I'm Pam's assistant, so I was doing some research for her last night. And I was digging through the dictionary, just wanted to verify that Latin derivation on humus. And one page over, just the opposite of hubris.
Yeah.
And if you aren't familiar with that word, you know, kind of a prideful arrogance. And I think sometimes to really understand the meaning of a word, you need to look at that opposite. And you know, reflect on my hubris, or the hubris of this of you know, the things that may be going on in this country. So I'll leave it at that.
Well, the other piece of that, though, too, is I think the, you know, the feeling that you get of being here, being a speck or whatever it might be, and the welcome that you receive here. I mean, the staff that works here and the hospitality, the philosophy of their hospitality is just almost a lost art, and it's pretty easy to just sort of fall into it and take it a little bit for granted. And I think that it's, you know, I think it's a marvelous lesson for anyone who comes here. And I, you know, I don't know how many people they have up here per year, but be good to spread it out.
In that book in your room, in everybody's room, it does give the average amount of people in a year. It was very fascinating. And how many are here in the winter and so on. You know, and along that same line, I think it's so wonderful how people from every walk of life and every style of living are welcome here, which you do not find too often in a lot of our churches. I think that says a lot too.
I've been really impressed with the people who are the workers here and the staff. How it works as a community, how everyone seems to have a job, and a job that is really important, and they are doing it, it seems to me that they're doing it to the best of their ability. I've been really impressed with the girl that's been working in the flower garden there,
mm-hmm.
and she seems so humble and so just peaceful doing that part of her job. And I really think that's the way God meant it to be. We have all these things when we get down. All of us seem to be running our own direction.
Mm-hmm.
And here they're working together, it seems, for one purpose. It's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I talked to the minister. He was pushing some dishes in to be washed. And I said, you are a jack of all trades. He says, we all do our share. And it isn't that anyone does any particular job. They trade off, and they know that each job is important for the success of the community. Whereas in the corporate life, as you call it, you know, everybody is striving to be better. I don't want to do those jobs because they're menial jobs. But
we get
get to be so competitive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's almost like a new world here. And a person needs to come here and get refreshed and take it back home. And not that you're going to make a big difference, but you, it's like our pastor says, you don't come to church because you need to, but you need to come to church because someone else may need you. And so it's just, you know, totally different. But as one person, you may be able to shine a light.
I noticed the same thing, that the person doing the gardening, and the word that popped in my mind was sacred. Mm-hmm. She's taking on this task, you know, right, you know, her hands in the soil and in the earth, with just such a sacred touch. Mm-hmm. And I bet we, if we look around and watch the person in the dish room, they're you know, dealing with that, and I would bet in a very sacred way, whether it's intentional or mindful, it just seems to happen here.
Mm-hmm. And I asked her if she did other things, and she said, no, I'm the gardener.
But as we were working out the friendship path, the truck was parked by one of the chalets, and they were unloading wood. And so the guy in the truck would throw it down, the guy down would throw it to the next guy near the house, and he would throw it down into the basement. And they had this, you know, if anyone dropped it, they'd be in trouble, but they didn't. They just, it's all community living.
That brigade.
Do you think that simplifying life is more possible to be more humble then, or are they sort of really related? You know, the trend has been to simplify in the past few years. And some, I mean, there are many books out of that. And it seems to me that you are able to be more humble in those situations. You don't wish as much. I don't know. And I talked to one of the gals that works at the post office, plus she does something else. She's a young family from Minneapolis, and she has two children. And she says, the children love it here. Mm-hmm. They, you know, I mean, to come from a big city, I think it's going to be hard. It might be difficult, I mean, for them to go back in the mm-hmm. hustle and bustle. Mm-hmm. And they're really enjoying it here. I mean, the whole family, mm-hmm. but the children especially, mm-hmm. are enjoying the school. It's a simplified, it's a much simpler life, no mm-hmm. television. And when mm-hmm. you think about that, and for kids, mm-hmm. how much better it is mm-hmm. for them, really. It's not so easy to do that when you're back home.
In looking at what, we were up at the museum today, and reading through some of that, I think I could spend a week up there and not get it all read, mm-hmm. but in reading some of the articles and everything, and back when the owners of the mine decided to shut it down, they tried to sell it to somebody to make a ski resort or something, do this, and they tried to sell it and tried to sell it. And eventually they gave up on trying to sell it, and they just gave it to the church. And, you know, I mean, somehow you think there was a little divine intervention in there, because otherwise, it, you know, some rich person would have bought it up, developed it all, made ski resort, did, you know, stuff like that out of it. So, you know, there must have been some little help along the way so that the church to come to this kind of property for that price, free. It's awful. You know, that was a godsend.
Sharing today, and hopefully you have a little bit more to kind of chew on or reflect on in these until we get together tomorrow. I have a
question about that, Pamela, yeah. In terms of the schedule. It's Dale, right?
Okay.
That session's going till what, about 4:30, 5 o'clock?
Right. So this one's going to be at 5:45.
Oh, okay.
After dinner, yeah, because we don't have a conflict for this space. So. And this, I just want to close with some words from Thomas Merton. And really, again, this sums up so much of the conversation we've had this afternoon. Because Thomas Merton describes the purifying desert in which we are all stripped of our false differences and enabled to embrace each other as the children of the same God. And I think in that humility, in the simplicity of this environment, we are just stripped of our differences. And I think that's what we're feeling and gleaning as we interact with the community and with one another. I had something I wanted to be able to offer as a, if you want to do it, fine. If you don't, that's fine too. But it really does come into that sense of God's presence and our presence with one another. And it was so interesting that I've been thinking a lot about the image of the cross lately in the context of the of a metaphor for our relationship with God and our relationship with one another. The horizontal beam being our relationship with God.
You mean vertical.
Or vertical, I'm sorry, yeah. Thank you. Like this, yeah. But it's just,
and if I'm not careful, I'm going to get that crosswalk side.
So our relationship with God being on the vertical beam, and our relationship with one another being on the horizontal, and how we need that vertical beam in order to be able to attach the horizontal, how we need our relationship with God and need that life-giving relationship and communion. And from that, then, we can really be in relationship with one another. And so I thought, well, wouldn't it be neat, since we're going to be up here and there's a lot of sticks around here. I don't know if you've noticed that or not. And perhaps you might want to find a couple of sticks and build your own cross to bring home with you, as to put on your home altar if you have one, or just on your wall or someplace to remind you, one more tangible reminder of your time at Holden. And I was going to bring, I have a cross somewhat like this, and I was going to bring that with me, but you know what? I ran out of time, and I never got around to looking for it. And then I walked in here, and here was this cross right out there in on the table out there. Exactly. I mean, this is a better example than the one I could have even brought. But I did bring home with, or from home, I did bring leather rope or twine rope, and also some beads. So if you want to, if you feel so inclined to find your own sticks and build your own cross, weave them or bond them together with the twine or the cord, and string a few beads if you'd like to. Just be my gift to you. I'll put this stuff down in the craft room where the weaving is. There's a room that has all of the yarns and stuff, and I think there's a table there, and you'll be able to find plenty of scissors if you need a scissors or what have you. So just know that's there if you feel so inclined. Anyway, thank you for coming.
Thank you. Thank you.